Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
to Wild and Crazy Nights.
The Athletic presents Hogan Johns.
Hogan for the win.
We're in a double corner.
We're going to consistently put players in position to succeed. Most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
From CHGO, it's Adam Hogan.
I don't think that this is a full rebuild, but you definitely have to retool your roster.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Hey, what's up, Flus?
And we're going to have measurable ways for standards of performance every single rep, every single game.
Anyway, who cares?
Now, here they are, the Adams, Hogan Johns.
Welcome in, Bears 2-1, Johns.
I think if you would have told me that was the Bears' record coming into the season after three games, you would take it, Adam Hogue.
Yes.
It hasn't been pretty.
But what if I said they're 2-1, but the quarterback looks significantly worse? Would you have taken that? Because I think most Bears fans would be smart enough to know no.
Probably not. I would.
You take 0-3 with like...
He at least looks how Trevor Lawrence looks right now.
You still take the wins. Come on. You play to win the game.
So you'd rather have 2-1 with the quarterback struggling than 0-3 with what I'm just saying, Justin Fields looks like Trevor Lawrence.
I'm just saying you prefer them to win, right?
I would say I'd prefer them to have a better quarterback. They're not winning anything.
They're not winning in Jacksonville with a better quarterback playing.
Yeah, they are. They're beating the Chargers right now.
You just said they're 0-3. Okay. I get what you're saying.
No. What I'm saying is, would you rather them be winless, but Justin Fields looks like Trevor Lawrence looks so far?
But what you're saying, if he's playing that well, would they be winless? I don't know.
Well, sure. I don't know. Probably not.
Now it's just hypotheticals. But what I'm saying is, it's okay to win games while your quarterback is stinking it up a bit.
Yeah, that's basically his words.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, he didn't want to use the word
welcome
ass.
No, he should have, though. He should have. It's bad, dude.
Did I just surprise you with that word?
No, because I saw that's what he wanted to say. And that is basically how he played. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Johnsy's at Soldier Field right now as we record this post-game episode, where the Bears managed to survive. Like, let's put it that way. They ran for 281 rushing yards. Johns, you should not need a late takeaway and a walk-off field goal to beat maybe the worst team in the league with 281 rushing yards. But that's how it played out today. And to your point, they got the win. You certainly feel good about that part.
Again, it's okay to win games when your quarterback tries to figure it out. I don't know how I've become that guy, because Justin Fields was terrible, to use his exact words. Was trash. Another quote from him. You take it this way, though.
Yeah, I guess. I think what worries me, Johns, is this isn't quarterback figuring out. It's quarterback struggling. You know, week one was figuring it out. Like, okay, it was a bad first half. Second half, he took what was given to him, and he made the throws,
yeah,
and they got the
monsoon
touchdowns.
It was rainy. The field was flooded.
I'm confused.
No.
So now I'm trying to give him credit for that.
I know.
Now you're,
so am I.
Now you're taking the credit away. I'm just. What I'm saying is, you could live with what you got week one. The last 2 weeks, he's taking steps backwards. That's what's concerning.
I think I'm trying to wrap my. I thought Matt Eberflus actually articulated the Bears situation quite perfectly. I feel like, at least right now in this podcast, I'm trying to not be the one overreacting to three games. Two played in very good weather, one against a very good team on Sunday night. Justin Fields was terrible. I'm not excusing him by any means. But it's still three games in this offense. And like we articulated in the preview podcast, this defense from the Texans, yeah, they're not a good team. But they gave Russell Wilson problems last week. They tied Matt Ryan and the Colts in week one. They've given more experienced quarterbacks some problems this year. You have to give the other team some credit. I'm not excusing Justin Fields from his poor performance. He overthrew Cole Kmet. He looked shaky at best in that pocket. I'm still waiting for him to get to the top of his drop and just unleash a throw, like with some confidence. To use a Matt Nagy word, some conviction, and you're just not seeing it. But trying to keep things in the bigger picture here. You got three games, two of them played in good weather, one against a very good opponent in the Packers.
Yeah, I don't think he has any confidence.
Nobody wants to hear that right now, but that's the context of the season.
Yeah, I'd be more willing to hear that if it was like sort of, you know, a little bit more give and take, some good, some bad. The last 2 weeks for me have been very concerning. Very concerning. Like, it's, I'm not even going to go there, but there's previous quarterbacks who have been here that I don't remember it looking.
You can go there. Go there.
Well, I don't remember Mitch having two games that bad in a row.
Okay.
Like, even then, it was more of like a process.
Bad performances in a, he had some consecutive, I want to say, he had like four-game stretches that felt pretty uninspiring.
Yeah, uninspiring is different than downright bad, though. I guess that's the point I'm trying to get at. Like, it's a different, this feels different than I thought it would. I was fully expecting Justin to go through.
I guess the exception I'm taking here is you're still okay if they're 2-1. Not 0-3. I know what you're saying about the quarterback play. You wanted to improve. That's best for the long term, it is, but you still try to win the game. You still want them to win games, right?
Sure, yeah.
And that the yes, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing I was saying off the top was I think that if the situation was you're 0-3, but Justin Fields looks like he's going to the Pro Bowl, that's probably better for.
Well, then, like, am I counter-arguing to that? Like, if he looks like he's going to the Pro Bowl, would they really be 0-3? Because if they're 0-3 and he looks like he's going to the Pro Bowl, then you get all the other major problems afoot.
Yeah, probably.
The defense
not.
Stinks. Bears special teams is a hashtag again. The running game isn't going off for 281 yards.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You thought I was going to go all in and bash the quarterback. He was awful today. He was.
You're making excuses for him. You definitely are.
No.
He was just terrible. Well, you're there. What? Tell us more about what Justin had to say and Matt Eberflus had to say about all this after the
game.
Well,
I thought, again, he articulated the whole situation quite well. I'll read you his quote because I'm using this in my story, my column for tomorrow on theathletic.com blog. When you're working with a young quarterback in a new offense, I think that the people around him have to be solid and have to be good. So that's important for us, meaning that the protection has to be good. The run game has to be really good. The defense has to be really good. And special teams, we got to be awesome. What you do is you support the quarterback while he's growing and while he's going through this. This is obviously a mess today. This was terrible. This was trash, to use his exact quote. This was assed, the word he didn't want to use, but I thought Matt Eberflus articulated the Bears situation quite well. Young team, trying to figure it out at quarterback and other positions and still managed to be 2-1.
Yeah, and I guess that's the thing, like though, but the running game was really good. I think the offensive line has been better than I expected it to be. Certainly he could have better weapons around him, but I think once again we're going to see on the film that there are open wide receivers. So I think that now the defense made plays today when they had to. And actually, they picked Justin up multiple times. You know, they got the interception back after the first interception. They made a huge stop. Justin Jones made a huge play after the second interception. So I guess along those lines of what Matt Eberflus is saying, like, I think that's part of my concern right now is he's getting more help than people thought he would get.
Yeah, but he's still throwing the Dante Pettis, Equanimeous St. Brown.
Open's open. Now, Darnell Mooney can't be dropping passes.
Yes. There's two.
Yeah.
There's two. I'm not forgiving the quarterback of his mistakes, but I just think if he's throwing for 350 yards and like a touchdown and interception, and you see development, the Bears still lose 27-18. You know, eventually those developments want to turn into wins. I think what you have is other facets of the Bears are developing. The run game is good, regardless of who's running the ball. The defense is capable. Kyler Gordon's learning on the fly. You have young Jaquan Brisker back there learning on the fly. You have Roquan Smith settling into a new position and being the stud the Bears expect him to be. But again, 2-1, games against the 49ers and the Packers, I think you would take this.
Yes, I'm just saying they got to get better quarterback play. If they're honestly, because how many other teams do they even beat today?
That's fair. That's fair.
You know what I mean?
But
like,
expectations were so low for this team to begin with.
No, but what I'm saying is you have 281 rushing yards in today's NFL. Like, you should probably be winning by double digits, right? Like, at some point, like, this proved essentially why you need a passing game in today's NFL. Because it's still, after all that, it still came down to needing Roquan Smith, who, by the way, played outstanding today, and that's a great development after last week's poor game. But you still needed the defense to make a huge play for you at the end and to kick a walk-off field goal when you had 281 rushing yards. Like, so at some point, you're going to need the quarterback to give you something more. Or this passing, or whoever you want to blame it on, the protection, whatever you want to blame it on, at some point, they have to give you something more, or you're not going to beat the Giants next week. You're not going to beat the Vikings. You're not going to beat the Commanders coming up. Like, you have to get more out of the passing game, regardless of whose fault it is.
I'm not saying you don't have to. I'm just trying to keep this in the general context of what the season's supposed to be. Overreacting after three games, trying not to do it. Didn't we just say like a few podcasts ago we need to see a full season? Hell, I even said you got to see it after 8 or 12 games. You have to start seeing signs of it. This was a step backward, but the Bears, they still won the game.
All right, so what else you got there from Soldier Field?
Well, Khalil Herbert was pretty good, was he not?
Yes.
David Montgomery, I don't know. It doesn't sound too good. I know there's some rumblings out there that somebody said he's day-to-day.
Well, the head coach said he's day to day.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I mean, that's where it came from.
But you know what? Oh, that's another story there. Anyway,
I think Valus Jones Jr. was day to day too of a month.
Yes,
ago.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Like Byron Pringle was day to day, and then missed most of training camp, and now he's in a walking boot with a calf injury. I'm just saying day to day is different for different coaches saying it.
Yeah, but. And by the way, I feel awful for David Montgomery in a contract year, you know, to be going through an injury like that. I hope it's not season ending. We'll have to figure out what it is. It would be pretty bad of Eberflus, though, to say it's day to day if he's going to have an MRI tomorrow that then shows he's out for the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So don't you think there's at least a little sense of optimism?
I've learned a long time ago not to hold coaches to what they say about injuries, like instantly.
No, I know, and I agree
with
that.
Matt Eberflus has specifically been, like, he's been actually forthright in his secrecy. Like, he's not going to give you anything about them.
Right, but it would be very misleading for him to say day to day if indeed we find out tomorrow he's out for the year. Like, I'd actually have a problem with that. Just say he's got tests tomorrow and we'll figure it out. We know nothing at this point. Because that's usually what coaches say after games.
Yeah.
Right? They usually, like, just don't know. Haven't talked to the trainer. We got more tests. You know, that's usually what they say. So you don't have to. So we'll. I don't know. Maybe it is a sense of. Maybe it is a little bit of piece of optimism. Maybe not. But regardless, sucks for David Montgomery to have to deal with any type of injury right now in a contract year. The good news is, I mean, Khalil Herbert looked pretty damn good coming in, and the running game continues to look good. Granted,
I would go back to week one where I thought Herbert actually looked better than David Montgomery. Then David Montgomery ran the ball well against the Packers. The run game works, which should open up the play action game, which goes to your question about Fields. But I guess I'm in that corner now where I'm willing to give this more time than others.
So what do you make of all the running on third and long?
Well, I think there's some trust things, and it's also probably a feel for Lucchesi. And I also have this question, like Matt Eberflus's own effect on the play calls. He said a few days ago how he has input in certain situations. Like there was one third down, I want to say they were like on the 10, like their own low red zone, and it wasn't surprising that they ran the ball, right? It's about field position. It's not taking extra risks. Like, I understood that decision. I've seen that before. Matt Nagy did that. And he was, he tried to throw the ball all the time. Like, that's pretty standard in the NFL. But there was a few that were like, okay, like the third down draw early in the game, it was like third and six.
Yeah.
And they were in the Texans territory. Like, okay, that's, come on. That raises questions. Like, calls like that raise questions about trust.
Yeah, I really only had two problems with the play calling today. One was the third and six. You know, the first third and 10, I understood. Like, you're at the edge of field goal range. You don't want to fall out of it. I wouldn't necessarily do the same thing, but I could at least understand the thinking behind it. Third and 18, whatever, or third and 17, whatever it was. Third and six, though, it's like, come on, you got to give the kid a chance sometimes. And then the other one I didn't like was later in the game when he completed that big play to Cole Kmet. I would have passed it again the next play. Like, try to build some rhythm here, you know. Try to give Justin Fields that boost of confidence. He seems to be somebody who needs that confidence and that little swagger. So maybe he gets it on that play. Instead, they run it the next two times, and then they put him in a terrible position on third and long. So, you know, for the most part, I can't fault Getsy when his quarterback's struggling and the running game's working. Of course you're going to lean on the run game. But those two specific plays were the ones I kind of had problems. Otherwise, like, a lot of the stuff on Twitter during the game about Getsy, I'm done with Getsy. They're running the ball like crazy. Why would you not stick with that?
It's a lot of overreactions. I know there will be a focus on the attempts for Justin Fields again. He went from 11 to 17. But can we just
hit that over?
Yes, we did. What was it, 15 and a half?
You put 15 and a half. He did hit the over.
Yeah, I thought I had a good number there because he scrambles a lot and he gets sacked. Those are pass plays, everybody. Yeah. Those are pass plays, like that long scramble that he had. Like, how long did it go for? 29 yards?
Yeah, something like that.
That was a pass play. Doesn't go down as a pass attempt, but that was a pass play. Luke Getsy is calling passes, and yes, Justin Fields has to go through his progressions faster and get the ball out of his hand.
Yeah. You might be onto something with Eberflus and having influence. He flat out screwed up the end of the first half, in my opinion.
By preserving his three timeouts.
And according to what Nicholas Moriano told us earlier on the CHGO postgame show, it sounded like Eberflus took responsibility for that. That, hey, they were in a third and short situation. They're in 13 personnel. They had to sub. You have to call timeout there. I would argue that regardless, you have three timeouts and there's like 40 seconds left, you call timeout there. But throwing the substitutions on top of it, yes, you definitely call timeout there. He didn't do it. I think that was a head coach kind of going through his first, what do I do here moment.
Well, and that's part of this, right? That's, again, the overall context of the season. First time head coach, first time play caller on Luke Getsy, and a quarterback who's caught up in a rebuild.
Yeah, I guess I would just kind of put that in the same bucket of, sure, you can look at it as a head coach going through, you know, his own development. I just think that that's so far into the extreme of obvious situations that I guess my expectation is, as you know, a 50-something year coach, granted he's first year head coach, but he's been in the game for a long time, would understand that that's an obvious situation. It looked too much like Nathaniel Hackett a couple weeks ago. Now, granted, that was the fourth quarter, that was the end of the game, that's way worse, but it's just like kind of deer in the headlight situation for me that's a little concerning.
Yeah, honestly, I think what we're all missing here is like the lack of aggressiveness in that situation.
Yeah. Which that I understand. Like, I understand being careful with Fields. But, okay, call timeout, reassess the situation. You got a first down, get the right personnel on the field. If after the first down play, then you decide you're not going for it, fine. But you can't let all the clock tick off there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, change your mind then.
Yeah.
Like, they went into it this goes back to the point about the lack of trust in Fields. They went into it not being aggressive. They didn't want to be aggressive. They got the first down. You know, Lovie, you know, used his timeout on second down. Then they get the first down and third down. It's they didn't change their mind about being aggressive in that spot.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've been through the hiring process before. It can be a pain, but LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. And at this point, 2.5 million small businesses are using LinkedIn for hiring. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, you were there today. What is your take, or what did you find out after the game about what's going on with the offensive line rotation situation? Tevin Jenkins not even starting this week. I don't really understand it, to be honest.
I think once Lucas Patrick is okay snapping, he's your center.
Yeah.
Can we just be honest about this?
See, he should be.
Yes, he practiced minimally this week at center, getting some snaps in, and there's still a recovery process going on. His hand isn't where he needs it to be to do everything he has to do as the center in a very important spot. So you need him going. He's an important part of that offensive line, important part of this team, this culture. And you have Tevin Jenkins, who is still learning on the job. When another person on this roster learning on the job at right guard. Honestly, I don't mind it. It's easy not to mind it when they're running for 280 yards a game.
Yeah.
Like that is good. Doesn't matter who's in. They're running the ball well. And I think the pass protection has actually held up quite well. But eventually, I think what you're going to see is Patrick at center, Tevin Jenkins is your full-time right guard.
Well, and I hope that's the case. I just, you know, I think Tevin's been doing everything that they've been asking him to do, and then some. So I was just a little surprised, that's all, that they went with Lucas Patrick to start the game instead of Tevin. I was trying to track who was in and out of there today, but it seemed like it was a little bit more Patrick.
It still looked like every two possessions.
Yeah, and so, but they at least switched the order. I love that we got our classic Lovie Smith challenge that he shouldn't have challenged. It's just like for old time's sake, he threw that out there. That was good. He couldn't have left here today, Soldier Field, without throwing the red flag at least once.
He is 0-3 against the Bears.
Hey, he got that fake punt.
That bothers me. Yeah, he did. He did. So
wait, it bothers you or bothers him? No, it
bothers him, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, I think you said. I think you said you know that bothers me.
Oh, that bothers me. What bothers? Yeah. Bothers him. Yeah. You know that bothers him. Well, I'm sure Dave Tobe in Kansas City, you know, passed that along to Lovie for good measure. Like, yes, generally the concern coming out of here is you need your quarterback to be better. Like David Mills was better, but he still gave up the big interception at the key moment. Like David Mills, what, 20 for 32, 245 yards, one sack, one TD, two interceptions? Not good enough.
Yeah, I think you saw the limit with Mills, right? Like you saw, okay, he can manage the game, he can get this thing going, he can make the right reads here and there. But now, granted, both of his interceptions were tipped. The first one definitely shouldn't have thrown because Vildor had good coverage. After they picked on Vildor early, he made the play when they needed to, and you never want to have an interception in the end zone. The second one, Angelo Blackson got his hand on. So I think that's sometimes you just got to chalk it up to the defense making a good play on you. I thought Davis Mills, for the most part, was fine. I think he was better than Justin Fields today. But you do kind of see that limit there. The frustrating thing with Fields is everyone can see the raw talent. Everyone can see what he could be. And so, yeah, you're just looking for more progress, I think.
Maybe it comes in week 4. I still remember the conversation we had about Mitch Trubisky in 2018. His first few games were uneven. He had that very uninspiring performance in Arizona. And there were calls for, we need to see it.
Yeah.
Year one with Nagy. Patience is a tough thing in the NFL, right? And I think Eberflus is trying to get his messaging down on that right now.
You know what I think the better comp is, though? Especially for this podcast, this conversation we're having today reminds me of when we were yelling at each other in Washington postgame. And that was also week 3, if I remember right. It was a Monday Night Football game that the Bears managed to win. And that was 2019, I think. Monday night, and I was being particularly hard on Mitch after the game. Like, come on, man, these were the games. Like, you just got to make that throw. You have to make those plays.
Yeah.
And, that was, in fact, now that I'm jogging that in my own memory, that's kind of the, now granted that was his third season, so it was an extra year. Yes, you should be, okay, so maybe Justin's not quite there in terms of the amount of starts he's
had. It's not a better comp.
Well, I just think it is in terms of like maybe how hard I'm being on him and you pushing back and yeah, we saw how that
ended. No, I remember being not upset, but my point was, Tariq Cohen's got to make that catch.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like, Tariq Cohen, you can't catch the ball and have the defendant rip it out of your hands when it's placed right there in the bread basket. Like, that's got to be caught. I think with this one is you got a quarterback who's very unsure of what he's seeing.
Yeah, that's not good.
And you try to understand why, right? And again, that goes back to new offense, new play caller. Things are moving faster. This isn't a preseason anymore. He's had one training camp with these guys. He needs help. Like, Byron Pringle leaves in the... Like, what if Byron Pringle was a big part of the game plan this week and all of a sudden he's just gone in the first... Like, after one catch?
No offense, but that made me laugh. Yeah, I hope Byron Pringle's not the big part of the game plan.
Yeah, but he's supposed to be your slot receiver. He had a nice catch, you know?
Remember when he had the double false start last week?
Yeah, that's a problem.
That's my favorite moment of his season so far. Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars up 31-10 on the Chargers, by the way.
Oh, well, here's the other part of that conversation. Has everybody overrated the Chargers? They're not the darling everybody thinks they are.
Yeah. And maybe, yeah, and I'm not sure I ever considered them great. Justin Herbert's still good, though. We'll say that. I have no idea how he's playing today, though.
See, or but if
he's
like playing. That's the thing. He could be great, but they're losing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You play to win the game.
They're in a different situation, though. They're trying to win a Super Bowl this year.
Isn't his rib like broken too, or something like that?
His rib cartilage, I think, was ripped out of his body.
Yes, probably should not be playing.
He is playing right now, and he just overthrew a receiver in the end zone.
Yes, but probably should not be playing.
Right, you probably shouldn't be. Give our guy Chase Daniel the ball. Come on, what are you doing? All right, any other final thoughts from Soldier Field?
No, the story is going to be Fields and his terrible performance, his trash performance, his ass performance. But it's a win. It's a win.
2-1.
2-1.
Take the North. Hashtag no, take the North. No. They're going to be tied with the Packers and the Vikings.
Wait, did the Vikings come back and beat the Lions?
I believe they did. The last time I saw, they were on top in the... Yeah, they won 28-24.
Wow.
28-24.
I think the Lions blew two big leads there.
And then, although the Lions still covered, right? Got to give them credit for that, I guess. Packers, though, I guess I shouldn't call that a win for Green Bay yet, but they are up 14-6 in the third quarter as we record this against the Bucs. So we'll see how that ends up. But we know the Bears will be at the top. They won their game. And now we see what they can do. I'm going to be interested to watch this game tomorrow night, Johns, to see how, I don't want to say legitimate the Giants are, but as we did on Thursday, we picked this game. I picked the Cowboys because I just feel like Michael Parsons is going to be the best player on the field. But, you know, if the Giants go to 3-0, the way the Bears played today, I think that becomes a much tougher game.
Well, they're probably going to be favored by at least 3.
Yeah.
I would imagine, but Daniel Jones or Justin Fields? At this point, maybe Daniel Jones.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. All right.
You sound like you were going to, though.
I'm just very discouraged by the last couple of weeks. I'm glad that there's 14 more games.
That sunset that comes over the west side of Soldier Field is now collapsing in the press box.
It's coming right in there for you.
Like, here's a fun fact about the press box. There's blinds in the press box, everybody, that once these noon games end, the sun just beams right in your eyes. That's what you're getting right now.
Yep. And you have to put the shades all the way down, basically, to the point where you can't see anything. And it still manages to find you. All right, Johns. Good stuff. We will be back Tuesday with our midweek episode. Start getting ready for the Giants. We'll be able to react to what we saw the night before, with that being the Monday night game, Giants-Cowboys. In the meantime, follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, at Adam Johns. Read all his stuff on The Athletic, theathletic.com/HogueandJohns, where you go to subscribe if you're not already. You can read me and all the others at CHGO at allchgo.com. Merch is up, obviousshirts.com. Find this and many other things. It's hoodie season. Hey, saw a couple guys at the CHGO tailgate today rocking some of the Hogan Johns merch.
There are people in the stands today at Soldier Field.
Love
wearing the Hogan Johns shirts.
Good stuff. Keep posting that stuff. And hey, it was a nice fall day. The Bears managed to win. Roquan Smith was awesome. That was a game where you needed your best player to step up and make a play. Yes, that's exactly what he did.
16 tackles, 2 for loss, big time interception.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Anyway, who cares?
Boom.
Hey, hey. Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.